Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Mpuga. This evening we'll talk about foreign aid and Africa. With us tonight is Suleiman Mugula. He's a South African-based independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Pleasure is mine.
You're welcome, man. Joining us from Kigali, Rwanda, is Rama Isibo. He's a Kigali-based political analyst and joining us by phone from there. Good evening, Rama.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very much welcome on the show. Now, gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight is going to be the foreign aid and its impact on Africa, or the lack thereof. A lot of aid money has been pumped on the continent, and there are varying opinions as to whether that aid has been useful, whether it has made a difference or not. In general terms, first let me begin in Durban. Suleiman, what's your view over there? Has it been made an impact or not?
The way you put it, I think we have been having aid for close to half a century. Almost since independence, many African countries have been getting aid. And we can divide it between two. There is some short-term aid, which is aimed at emergencies, which has been scattered all over the continent. Some cases are for famine, some cases post-conflict problems, where countries have come in with some emergencies for short-term impact to alleviate the suffering of the people. That one, I think, we can say for it is easy to gauge the impact which it makes because it pulls people out of the suffering, the immediate suffering. But I think for our concern, we should be looking at the long-term aid which has been poured into Africa in many countries. I think since it has been for over 20 years, we are in position to ask ourselves, has it really helped the continent or it has it not helped the continent? I think by and large we can conclusively say, and without fear or favor, we can say that it's very difficult to affirmatively say that it has helped, because one has to ask what is the prime aim of that aid. Is it for the interests of the people on the continent? Is it for the interest of the leaders on the continent, or is it for the interest of the donor countries?
I see.
If we are talking in terms of the interests of the people, one would ask how much have the people on the ground benefited from the aid? If you take countries which have received a lot of aid, let's say in Africa, take countries like Egypt, you take countries like Ethiopia, take countries like Uganda, you take countries like Rwanda, DRC, you ask yourself, all the massive aid which they have received, have the lives of the people on the ground increased, improved? Mm-hmm. The immediate answer is, there is little to show off. Life of the people has not improved for the last 25 years or so. Poverty has increased. There is no infrastructure. You go in most of these countries, they are struggling. They don't have energy. They don't have roads. They don't have hospitals. I mean, today, if you are admitted to the best hospital, the national hospital, referral hospital in Uganda, in Mulago, it's a death sentence. You don't know whether you come out alive because the medicines are not there, the facilities are not there. So are other countries. You ask yourself, where has the aid gone? So maybe, as my colleagues will say, we can comfortably say, as far as the people on the ground in Africa are concerned, they have not, unless someone proves us wrong, we don't see what they have benefited. Maybe we can talk the donor countries themselves and the leadership.
Okay, Rama, you heard what someone is saying there over there. Do you share his opinion? Or?
I mean, Rwanda is kind of an exception. Rwanda is like a model for the whole, what you'd call the aid industry or whatever, to show at least something is working. And in Rwanda, at least, you cannot deny that You know, our child mortality has gone down by 80%. Our maternal mortality has gone down. I mean, all the indicators. I mean, people have been pulled out of poverty. I mean, there are so many good things which have come. But then Rwanda is kind of an exception, and you can't really reproduce all the good effects that you've had in Rwanda, because Rwanda is unique the way it is. I don't think you could bring Rwandese policies in Uganda or Kenya because the people would not allow them. I think Rwanda has a unique history where it's been through genocide, it's been through the worst things, that the people just accepted what the government wants to do, and they said, you just do what you have to do, and we'll support you. But I think you have to look at, if you ask yourself whether aid has been effective, you have to ask what were the original goals of the people who were giving aid. And if you look at the donors, they want to have influence with the countries which they're giving aid to. Because when you give a country aid, like, for example, recently when Uganda was threatening to ban gays and to bring the death penalty for them, then all the Western countries, you know, jumped in and said, we are going to withdraw your aid. So aid is a tool for Westerners to control Africa. And it's also a form of national corporate responsibility, where a country can feel better about itself that, oh, we are helping poor Africans in the middle of nowhere who are, you know, barefoot and with flies around their mouth, and that kind of image.
Mm-hmm.
But it also brings a lot of economic retardation in Africa, because Africans, we still look to the West to solve all our problems. We believe all our solutions come from the West. We never believe that if it's not from the West, then it will come from China. But then we never think that maybe us Africans, we can solve our own problems, because we have been, you know, built, we have had this built into our head for so long. So aid has like two effects both ways. I mean, for the donor, it keeps the whole racist attitude that many Europeans and Americans have towards Africans, you know. And instead of promoting trade, you know, they're just promoting aid. And I agreed last year when Mitt Romney said that the reason why aid has not worked in Africa is because it was not aimed at stimulating trade. It was aimed at just keeping people the way they are and just relieving the symptoms a bit and not fully solving the problem. So there are so many negative effects for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like in Africa, I think the way we have it has built an inferiority complex amongst ourselves.
I see.
To think that Europeans will always, like, any project that anyone wants to do, you have to go to the EU or USAID or somebody to try and pay for that, when we all know that we have the money in Africa, mm-hmm, ourselves.
I see.
We have so much money that we're wasting on big 4x4 cars, which could be, each of those could be an ambulance.
Yeah.
Then Africans, we always look for outsiders to try and solve our problems.
Okay, I'll put this one now to both of you, beginning with Suleiman in Durban. There are those who have related, who have drawn a correlation or a causation between governance and aid received that doesn't help the people it's tended before. Is there a correlation between the two? If a certain country Y in Africa is well governed, the aid may be useful. If it's mismanaged, I mean, if it has some dictatorial leader, the aid may go to waste.
I mean, in Rwanda was there was a very paradoxical. There's something called the aid trap, which is the more you use aid properly, the more aid they give you. So aid will always increase as a percentage of your budget as long as you use it well. So that creates a dependency between the two countries. And a good thing that Rwanda had last year when they cut our aid, we suddenly woke up and we realized we can't live like this forever. you know. We can't live with a cloud over our heads all the time that, you know, that they can take everything away from us. So it's like, it's an actual trap when you have good governance and then you are rewarded every time you do something good by more money and more dependency. It can be a very dangerous thing for Africa. I don't know what Suleiman has to say about it.
Suleiman, what's your take?
Yeah, it is basically, we are looking at a situation where if aid is given in a country which is well governed, where there are institutions which have got checks and balances, then you can be sure that every cent which is sent will be used according to the budget and according to aspiration of the government and the peoples. But what is ironic is that for the past 20 years and so, many dictators have been receiving the money and they are using the money to foster their own interests. For example, you find the money which is being given is buying arms, is solidifying the security systems, which security systems are aimed at having solidifying those leaders into leadership. They are working to cement themselves in power other than working for the people. For example, you remember recently, Uganda had to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to buy fighter jets. For what? You get bilateral aid coming from the European Union that it is strengthening good leadership in the police. But the police continue to torture, they continue to arrest. The Ugandan government, they will tell you, the Department of Justice was receiving a lot of money and aid from the European country to improve their performance. Mm-hmm. But now when you see the type of laws which are being passed and which are being put on the country, you wonder yourself what is being done. So in short, for sure, as far as the interests of the donor countries are concerned, since they are not bothered about the people, for them, their interests are served, and the interests of the leaders who take the money served, they are able to distribute that money within themselves, except for a few countries, the way my colleague is saying in Rwanda, they have got some progress going on. But if you look at a country like Uganda, they have got money for AIDS, it has been eaten, you have got money for GAV, it has been eaten. Almost all the money most of the money which is sent is spent anyhow, the way the leadership wants. But the developed countries are not worried about it and they have continued. The worst part of it, to sum it up, is that how can a developed country, a democratic country in Europe or in America, give aid perpetually without a time limit? I think that seems to be ironical, that you go and feed someone instead of teaching him how to fish, they're just giving him fish forever and ever. For how many years has Africa gone on aid? By the fact that they have never put timelines, by the fact that they have never bothered to cross-check what the aid does, by the fact that they have never been able to respond when cases of corruption and misuse are reported on that aid, it shows that their interest is not in the money which they spend to serve its primary interest. It is in their own interest, the way my friend said, one of which is corporate responsibility.
Okay, Rama, hold your thought. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll give you a chance to respond to that, and we'll continue our discussion of our foreign aid in Africa.
African Music Mix.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. North to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best. Tune in from 0 to 300 hours UTC and from 11 to 1300 hours UTC every single day on the Voice of America.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is foreign aid in Africa. Our panelists are Rama Isibo and Suleiman Mugula. Both are political analysts. One is based in Kigali, Rwanda, and Suleiman is based in South Africa, in Durban, South Africa. And I'm your host here in Washington. My name is Douglas Impoga here in Studio 9. Before we took that short break, Suleiman had raised the issue of the ambiguity and the donor's intentions in having perpetual aid to Africa. What's your reaction, Rama?
You have to understand that aid is equally beneficial. That's the main reason why they give it. You'd ask yourself why. If you look at America, America gave aid to Britain and Germany and Japan and all those countries after World War II. But they had a specific time limit. They only gave them over 10 years, and they had to pay back everything, and they paid back in the end. But Africa, it seems that we have just always been kept in a perpetual state of receiving aid because it is equally beneficial to the donor. For example, if you get aid from America, you have to buy stuff from America. If America gives you 10,000 water pumps to put in rural areas, you'll have to buy American water pumps, even though the Chinese model is even a lot cheaper. So it supports industry in those countries. They bring technicians here. You can find in any NGO, you'll find a white person from Europe is being paid 10 times what an equally qualified African is being paid to do the same job in the same NGO. So a lot of the time when they give you, say, 100 million aid something, most of that can end up going back to the country in some way or the other. And the only thing that we're left with is basic residual, you know, benefits. So, for example, Southern Sudan can be in drought, and then America gives aid of, say, 30, 40 million to buy food. But then you have to buy food from Texas and then fly it all the way to Southern Sudan. And then you find Uganda has a surplus of food, and you could just be, they could have just paid Uganda 10 million, and Uganda would have sent unlimited trucks of food, you know, there. So you have to realize that aid benefits the donor even more than it benefits the recipient, because it gives you control over the person, it gives you control over their economy, over their politics, over everything. And when you remove that aid, you no longer have that bargaining power. So, for example, Rwanda, they cut our aid, and then they restored it back. Now, if you look at UK, I also live in Oxford, and in Oxford they are closing down hospitals, you know, because there's no money, and yet at the same time Britain is giving money to Uganda, to Rwanda, to all these other countries, and you wonder why does a country give away money when they are closing hospitals in their own country, and you realize that there's some benefit that outweighs people dying in your own country because they don't have a hospital. So it's a two-way street, but it mostly benefits the West.
I see.
And in addition, the way my colleague has said, Douglas,
mm-hmm.
what is so surprising is the way we Africans are cheated by the rhetoric which the West continues to recycle every now and then. When they're about to give the aid, they come up with all the nice rhetoric about good governance, about democracy, about good institutions, about human rights like gays and so on. But you wonder whether they practice, they even monitor what it is. When you look at countries like Uganda, let me put it this way around. Today, USA and our allies are crying, and not saying I'm insensitive, they are crying about almost over 1,000 people killed in Syria, and they are ready to go and attack Syria. But you remember at the height when Uganda was getting the most of the aid, there was almost 1,000 people dying in northern Uganda in actions, which some of which are committed by government forces. But they never had a word to say. Instead, they continue to pour money to buy more arms, which arms were killing people. They have been pouring arms. They have been giving aid to Uganda and Rwanda perpetually. This money, part of it, has been buying arms. People have been dying in numbers in eastern DRC. It is only now when the M23 is threatened to finish people, including overrunning the UN soldiers. This is when they realize that these people are better armed than the UN forces. Now they have to be stopped, and they start taking action. They realize UN people are going to die. This is when they realize there is human life there. Otherwise, before that, they don't care whether the money buys arms. People have armed themselves to have continued to die. They have not bothered. Instead, they continue to give aid, which aid goes there. So one wonders, is this aid really necessary for Africa? But what is most comforting is that I think African people on the ground are getting fed up with the rhetoric from the Western countries.
If you look
at their reactions,
yes,
with what they did in the elections in Kenya, if you look at the reactions of people in the elections in Zimbabwe, I think there is some negativity which is happening as far as the Western countries are concerned. They need to watch out. The people are getting fed up.
So,
they are getting fed up with the lies which they are being told.
So hearing from both of you, it seems the emphasis should not be on development aid, as they call it, or military aid. It should be more on emergency relief, emergency aid, and then after that, let people strive on their own. Now, why haven't there been more voices calling for maybe more of trade than aid? Let me begin with the... Go ahead.
I mean, the main reason is, well, the West has been deindustrializing for the last 20 years, and it's only China that is industrializing. So the West doesn't need the resources directly the way they did. Now the resources pass through China, then they go to the West. So the West has kind of forgotten Africa, and then they only just realized in the last few years, hey, this place has been getting 7% growth consistently, and the Chinese are owning everything now. And now suddenly now the West wants to come back into Africa. They have lost their old networks and their old structures. So the only way they can come in is by these ICCs and by these international bodies that can attack governments here as a way of trying to get as a way of trying to get them back under control, you know. But then, right now, the West is not really ready to compete with China for Africa, really, because their focus has been so inward. They have just been trading with each other, you know, EU, North African Trade Agreement, or trading with China. And Africa still only gets something like 2.5% of the global trade. Mm-hmm. And most of that is still mostly raw materials. So until Africa can get up to 10% of the global trade, you know, we're still going to be in this very poor position. And then this aid is meant to try and stop that gap. And try and fill that gap until we can grow. But then it's actually causing economic retardation. It's causing us not to want to industrialize. It's causing us not to want to process our own minerals. It's causing us not to want to add value. So it's a real problem. But then if you removed it from us, it would cause security crises all over Africa, because if GDP went down by 20-30% instantly, it would cause utter chaos in any country. So we're stuck with aid for the time being, but until governments can really try and build their tax base. Right now, one of the reasons we don't have democracy in Africa is because of aid. Because if the taxpayer was paying 100% of the government bill, then I guarantee you that taxpayer would have more political democratic power. The fact that the West pays for almost half of the bill gives them power over our governments, which our people don't have. So our governments just have to play a hypocritical game to look good for the Western governments, and then they keep getting aid. And at the same time, there's a democratic deficit in our own countries. So I think aid has so many negative effects,
mm-hmm.
economically, socially, politically, in every way.
I see. Suleiman, you have a minute or so to summarize. I think Rama there raises very crucial issues. But I guess the main point as we wind up the program is it seems the people are on one side and their leaders are on the other side. Leaders meaning they can seek and get aid, which aid helps them to stay in power.
Yeah. To put it summatively is that aid has turned out to be more toxic than resuscitative. It has stifled all our efforts. The way my colleague has said, instead of people waking up and work hard to broaden the tax base, people are getting handouts from Europe and then they distribute them amongst themselves as leaders, and then the ordinary man is left to struggle on his own. So, in short, one cannot see exactly what aid is it for. We have not improved on our production capacity. We have not been able to improve our infrastructure. As a result, we cannot be able to trade. We have not added value to our commodities. We have not built infrastructure to collect those commodities. We have not improved our people's health. We have not improved on education. So it is toxic. We are just going backward rather than going forward. So in short, I think we Africans, we need to wake up. As the way my colleague said, it is only until when Rwanda's aid was stopped, that is when they woke up and realized the IBO. We need to stand on our own. We have to be to stand on our own. We have to wake up and build our own country and broaden the tax base and be responsible, not to rely on the external aid all the time.
So
that is the problem where we are. Aid as it stands now, apart from emergency aid, the development aid is toxic.
I see.
It is just hoodwinking Africans to believe that there is something going on, but instead, it is serving the interests of the donors and the leadership at the moment, most of which is the dictatorship.
Okay, Rama, you have 30, 40 seconds to sum up.
Yeah, I mean, it will just... I would advise people to watch... there's a documentary called about Francafrique, about the French and Africa. It's called The French-African Connection, and you should watch it, because it shows how Western governments install weak governments in order to get their interests pushed forward.
Yeah.
So when you look at aid, it's part of that, trying to weaken governments and trying to strengthen Western power. So I think Africans, we just have to get up on ourselves.
I see.
On our own feet and just say we can do it. Otherwise, no one will help us.
I see. Well, on that note, we end the program. That's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panelists, Rama Isibo, political analyst based in Kigali, Rwanda. Thanks a lot, Rama.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Suleiman Mugula, also another political independent analyst based in Durban, South Africa. As usual, thanks a lot, Suleiman.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure, my brother.
You're welcome. Our producer has been Jackson Mfunganyi. And we're back again next week for another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can go to the internet and access it by going to our main website, which is www.voanews.com, and you find it there for your listening pleasure. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in, and until next week, I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, sports fans. This is the voice of America, Sonny Young. Please join me Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the Sunny Side of Sports. On Fridays, you can also hear my expanded 30-minute show at 17:30 UTC right here on The Voice of America.